What is going on? It is Adam. Welcome back to Bringing It Backwards, a podcast where both legendary and rising artists tell their own personal stories of how they achieve stardom. On this episode, we had the amazing opportunity to hang out with Beth and Nathan of the band Gossip over Zoom video. Both Beth and Nathan grew up fairly close to each other in Arkansas and talk about how they got into music. They both talk quite a bit about their childhood growing up, eventually moving to Washington State, and that's where the band Gossip formed. Nathan would book shows for the band before they even had a name, so they talked about the name they had prior to the band being Gossip. They talked to us about working with Rick Rubin. They worked with Rick Rubin on the Music for Men album, which had the massive hit Heavy Cross on it. They also did a 10-year anniversary tour for that album. And Rick Rubin also produced the band's new album, which is called Real Power. So we talk about that album again and what it was like working with Rick all these years later. You can watch the interview with Beth, myself, and Nathan on our Facebook page and YouTube channel at Bringing It Backwards. It would be amazing if you subscribe to our channel, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Bringing Back Pod. And if you're listening to this on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcasts, it'd be amazing if you follow us there as well and hook us up with a 5-star review.
We'd appreciate your support if you follow and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're bringing it backwards with Gossip.
Hi, Beth. How are you?
Never been better. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
You're at.
I'm Adam. So nice to meet you.
You. Will it be distracting? This might be annoying. I'm sorry. You can tell me the truth. Won't bother me at all. If I put my eyeliner on while we do this.
No, that'd be cool.
Yeah, you're going to learn the real tricks, baby.
I love the behind the scenes stuff like that. That's cool. I'm down with that.
Oh, well, I'm glad to oblige. Is it just me and you? Or is it Nathan?
I think Nathan just popped on.
Popping on. Yeah, so I can also hide the screen if it's too distracting. The last interview we were doing, I tried to put on the eyeliner and it just did not work out the whole time.
Oh, all good.
Where are you?
I'm in Nashville, Tennessee.
Nashville.
Yeah. Hey, Nathan, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Are you from Nashville?
No, from San Diego.
Oh shit.
Balboa Park.
A Yankee.
Ah, yes. So I moved out here. Technically Mexico, really.
Just be honest. Yeah. My in-laws
stole it. We took it back. Took it from them, I guess.
I don't think it ever went back. No, I don't think it ever went back. No, it's in the United States. So no.
No.
Yeah, but my in-laws live there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They live down there. That's the only time I ever spent time there.
Did you like San Diego?
Yeah. I mean, we used to play this club. We never spent a lot of, because, you know, when you're on tour, especially back then, like we'd be in a van. So you'd have to like go straight to the show, go play the show, go straight to bed, wake up early, you know, same thing the next day. But we used to play this club called the Casbah. Do you know where that
is? Yeah. Oh, I used to go there all the time.
Rest in peace, Big O. Rest in peace, Big O.
Yeah, Big O.
Oh, I love O. I love Otis.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
Nathan, do you mind putting on your camera or?
My phone's acting really weird. My Wi-Fi is going in and out. So is that okay if I just do audio? Because when I turned the camera on, it was cutting out earlier.
You have the
My phone is fucked up. My phone broke in Europe.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's
also
fine.
I'll tell you this. We were staying at a hotel and the Wi-Fi was the slowest Wi-Fi I've ever encountered in my life. And that's saying something because I don't do anything but like watch YouTube videos. So, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to zip over an email really fast. Like, nothing matters.
Yeah, that's fine, Nathan. We'll run with Beth and my camera and your name. That's cool.
Cool. That's
can you
perfect.
Can we have like a cool banner for his name? Like, could you do something cool? Like,
Beans in it.
What did you say? Did you say Wingdings?
I said they're missing out with this ugly ass mustache that probably has food in it still.
What'd you have for breakfast?
I actually didn't eat breakfast, so.
Okay, well, that's not good for you.
I'm lying.
I'm lying. I had two.
The most important meals of the day, they say. What'd you have, Beth?
I'm only a breakfast eater on tour, really, if I'm on press days. But So is that the question you wanted to ask? Are we done here?
That was it. I just want to know what you guys had for breakfast. No, this is about the both of you.
Well,
and
that's funny because you wanted to know what we had for breakfast, but you didn't even ask me, so.
Oh, what did you have for breakfast?
Oh, never mind. It's not important. I can already tell you don't really care.
You said what you had, and then I missed
it. Oh, no, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't. Well, now I'm super curious.
But I am curious. Add toast and eggs if you must know.
What kind of eggs? Scrambled or
Yeah, scrambled. How did you know? Oh, there's a lot of ways to have eggs.
I'm sunny side up only. Sunny side up only.
Sunny side up only?
Here's the thing is I'm an over medium, but usually when you're in the hotel, like when you're doing stuff and you're working, this is bourgeoisie. This is the bougiest conversation. it's messier and I just want to throw the eggs on the toast and eat it like that. But
I'm still dreaming about the English fry up breakfast. Fuck, I love that.
Yeah, I think it's good. I don't like that they fry the bread. I'm like, what are we doing here? What is this?
I just love the beans with the eggs, and it's so good. That's an amazing combination.
You know what I love is that you and I have a love for beans on toast, and I swear to God, it comes from our childhood. Anyway.
Oh yeah, it's the most Arkansas thing. If people in Arkansas knew about an English breakfast, they'd flip.
Well, that's funny because that's where I wanted to start. You both are from Arkansas. Did you grow up together?
We did-ish. Well, we did class. I was 13 when I met Nathan. 14 when we started hanging out. And like 15 when we got to know each other more. And then they kind of left and they went to Searcy High School and I went to Riverview High School. So I grew up in Judsonia.
Just a few miles away. A few miles
away. Okay, it's not very far.
I mean, it's literally the next town over. Okay. Yeah.
So you met what in middle school or
no? We junior high for me, high school for them.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did you all meet?
Was it through Jennifer Colbert?
Yes. I always said if I ever made a musical of my life, which I never will, it would be called Co-Worker's Daughter, like Coal Miner's Daughter, because Nathan and I met through my friend Jennifer Colbert, and her mom and my mom worked together. But Jennifer went to Searcy High School where they went, and she was like, she was kind of like, she was from Monroe, Louisiana. And
she had a Pearl Jam shirt on, and I was like, I have to talk to this girl.
Yes, she was really cool. And she was the only other kid that I knew, well, one of the only other kids that I knew that liked that kind of music. And the only way we would have met was through our parents. So that was really lucky. But like, she moved up from Monroe, and she brought all these tapes of MTV with her.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived in a town where you couldn't get MTV. So like, I don't know. It was just a really cool connection. Like I got to watch, episodes of 120 Minutes and see videos I never got to see before and stuff like that. So that was really cool. Yeah.
You didn't have
it. So
MTV.
We met through her.
They didn't have it in the place in Arkansas you live? That's interesting.
Our town. So rumor has it that Footloose was based on the town we grew up in. And I think that's true.
Really?
Rumor has it. It's not true, but it is like that.
It's similar. Interesting.
My brother, because it's Church of Christ and Southern Baptist, like, mm-hmm. rules that town. Like, I always say diversity in Arkansas was when a Methodist and a Church of Christ and Southern Baptist were in the same room together. Like, that is the peak white county Arkansas diversity. But, like,
cross-denominational diversity.
Yeah, it's like, it's as diverse as it got. But, I mean, that's not true, really. That's actually not really fair. But, especially now,
there's a lot of diversity in Arkansas now, actually.
Well, yeah, there really is. I mean, well, it's different. It's so much different. But like, especially where I grew up, because there's a lot of farm towns. You too, Nathan, but on the different, I grew up on a different side of the different river. It's a whole other thing. So, how did we meet? Oh yeah, that's how we met. Was there another question? I can't remember.
No, I was just curious how the both of you met. What about
that was it.
Okay. Well, as far as music goes, Beth, did you grow up in any? I know you have a lot of siblings. Did you grow up in a musical family? Is anyone
else?
Have you
ever seen Sound of Music?
Any kid?
Yeah. Have you seen Sound of Music before?
Yes.
It was nothing like that.
Oh. Okay.
And my family is really funny. You know, I didn't, growing up, I didn't realize. The older I get, the more I realize. I'm like, wow, my family is really into music. Like, I just thought everybody's family was like that, but like, we were poor, not just broke, but poor. And my dad would do ridiculous shit. Like, you know, rent to own. He was really big into rent to own. Okay. So like we would have like my mom. Oh, my God. Still to this day. That's another story. She rent to owned a recliner the other day. And I was like, Mom.
Oh,
this is like 2 years ago. I was like, Mom, just fucking call me. I'll get your recliner that you don't have to rent. Just like, I mean, Jesus Christ.
Rent out is capitalist slavery.
What'd you say?
It's similar to like layaway, right? Where you pay for it.
No, the interest is so expensive because you pay by week.
It's capitalist slavery. It's capitalist slavery at its best.
Oh my gosh. I've seen it on like rims and like television.
It's more just like capitalist interest inflation of like.
Yeah, yeah. Slavery is a harsh word to use, but it does make you, it keeps you in the system and charges you more. Yeah, it keeps the poor poorer and the rich get richer.
Right. And they have access to things that they wouldn't have access to usually, like even a computer or something sometimes. Anyway, so that's how we got by a lot of the time. But my dad would do this brilliant thing called rent to own. But like we would have no food in the house. Like, you know, this is when I'm my dad's baby and there's three more like after me. But so when I was little, he would like bring home this just immaculate sound system, rent to own. And my mom would be livid, fucking livid. And then anyway, but you know, it would be baloney. I guess we were doing fine. They'll eat lunch at school. Who cares? It's funny because it wasn't like my dad didn't care. It just, maybe he kind of didn't. Anyway, so like we always had a booming sound system in the house. And like, you know, I remember my mom was always, there was a lot of talk about like, the sounds of shit, you know, like I remember my mom having, you know, we had Blizzard of Oz on LP, you know, the Ozzy Osbourne record.
Yeah, yeah.
And we had, you know, my mom was the kind of mom who was like really into like, she was young in the '80s. So like, she was really into Black Sabbath and she was really into Pink Floyd. I think Pink Floyd and the Beatles are probably her favorite band, but she listens to Pink Floyd more. I feel like the Beatles is more nostalgic for her. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason why she loves Pink Floyd is because the production is so incredibly deep and good. And as a kid, she talked about that kind of shit all the time.
Wow.
Yeah. And I didn't like, she wouldn't say the words production, but she'd be like, this is the kind of record you've got to listen to on headphones. You have to hear it on headphones. You can't just listen to it. Like she was always talking about stuff like that. And then, you know, I got older and like, one of the records that made me think of my mom, Follow Me, if you will, was when that Daft Punk record came out and it was all analog and like people were talking shit about it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this fucking record is brilliant because I was raised on, got to listen to this on headphones. You've got to listen to every little part of it. You have to understand what it means. Like, you know, like a lot of talk and dissecting sounds and music and like that kind of stuff. And then my dad, my brother, who was only around 14, started playing drums. He's my oldest brother. He's 43. He is 51 now. As a 14-year-old, would go on tour with my cousin's band. And they would tour with like fucking no shit, like Little Richard and do the Riverboat Gambling Circuit around Tunica and Natchez and shit. Yeah.
Oh
and
my so, gosh. Like,
yeah. He was never in school. He quit school really young. So like that kind of stuff back then, because you're like, oh, you know, 50s, you know, 50s stars, whatever, you know. But like now when I'm older, I'm like, what the fuck? Like that really happened. You know, like he can tell you stories about Little Richard and shit and like that kind of stuff. And my dad, you know, because of my cousin and him playing music, and he really wanted to be a big star, like, in, you know, Nashville. And he was going to sign a contract and everything. And it fell apart because he's a different person, not my brother, but my cousin. But like, you know. Like my dad would do sound.
He's
from
still the playing shows, by the way.
VFW I
see Kenny Kidd's show advertisements in like the Daily Citizen and in Cersei. Still, he plays shows every once.
That's
in a while.
My cousin. Yeah.
Wow.
He sure does.
And how stoked was he?
At the like VFW and Little Rock.
They played it. They played the like they did honky tonks all the time. And yeah.
But they see your success. Are they like, whoa? Like that's they must be. I mean, to see what you've done, right? Are they stoked on that?
My brother is. My brother could not be more proud. In fact, when I got dropped off at the airport when I was 18, because like I never phoned anywhere, done anything. Because my high school boyfriend dropped me off. And my brother, Benny, who I was talking about, and my sister, Acacia, because they just really, you know, I moved in with them around 12 or so. I moved in with my aunt and helped her take care of. She had some foster kids who were also my cousins, but they weren't her kids anymore, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But I helped take care of them and lived with them, slept on the couch. That was my bedroom. And then I helped, and she died of cancer at 14-ish, 15, at 15. And then I moved in with my brother, Benny, and my sister, Acacia. And all through that, you know, I worked, did my best. And they're the ones that dropped me off at the airport, you know, like they, you know, but now, but like even saying that, like my sister, Acacia, who's 3 years older than me, is so funny. But, you know, she's obsessed with hip hop. She can tell you every fucking Spotify rapper. Like she's just like, you know, like she's obsessed with music. And she talks about, we all talk about production all the time. And then all of my nieces and nephews, like a lot of them ended up going to that really controlling Christian college because it's a good Christian college, actually. It's a good school, but it's really expensive, blah, blah, blah. But on scholarship for trumpet and trombone. So like,
wow,
I didn't realize, but as all that to say, I didn't realize until I was older how into music my family was, but not in this way that like, it's showbiz, baby, but in this way that like we always had music on in the house. Like we were always listening to, you know, everything. We list everything was on. My dad was more of a country music. He loved the Bee Gees. Obsessed with the Bee Gees. Would talk about the production and the piano parts and the harmonies and shit. Like that kind of stuff. But
I mean, yeah. It sounds like there's a lot of players, right, in your family as far as that goes. Like trumpet players, your drummers. And did you start playing an instrument early on, or
hell
like,
no.
I mean, you have a great voice.
Now.
You just
choir.
I was in choir. I was in church choir for a bit, and I stole all those solos. I was in high school choir. Okay. I was really into high school choir, and then mostly I just sang a lot. It was actually my sister Acacia, the one I was telling you about, the one that knows every fucking rapper in the world. She used to just like out of the blue, and to know my sister, you would think this is funny. You would never think this about her. She's a fucking spy. She will clean your clock. She's not giving a shit. She and I could not be more opposite. Like, I'm just like, can we just not be extra today and like, just be kind and like tiptoe. She's like, fuck you. Like she will lose her shit. But like, she doesn't sing. She just loves music, but she used to enter me in contests and stuff. And then like, you know, she'd pick me up from school and be like, hey, I put you into this talent show. Like, I think you could, you know, I had one karaoke tape from a school talent show thing I did, and it had like 3 songs on it. And she's like, I think you could win it. So let's go, you know, and I never won, but she was always doing like, you know, a few times she did stuff like that for me. And like, my mom didn't have time to do that. She had too many kids, she worked too much, but
But to have her, be so supportive. I mean, that's amazing. Hey, I'm going to take you to this. You're so good. I'm going to take you to this karaoke contest.
Yeah, she really thought I was good. And I always thought that was really sweet because, like, my sister was the pretty one. You know, I was always chubby and, like, I was always a fat kid. I was always a loud kid and I was always nuts. And, like, my sister's loud and funny, too. But, like, she was blonde and thin and, you know, she's the tallest one in the family. I don't, you know. 5'4" So then, you know, she was though, and she was like in homecoming and stuff like that. I mean, I was in a lot of school shit too, like, don't get me wrong, I was all over that bitch, but like, you know, mine I think was more for like personality. I think, but she was always taking care of me in the best way because she didn't really have that mentor for her. And, you know, she wanted me to go to college. She's like, wanted me to go to Ole Miss because they had like the third best choir in the country or something. And I was like, Acacia, I can't even fucking read music. Her name's Acacia. I was like, I can't even fucking read music. I'm not going to go to Ole Miss. I'm not going to pass that. Let's get that straight. And I don't want to go to school. Mm-hmm. So like, yeah. Yeah. Nathan, what about your family?
Yeah, I was going to ask Nathan next. So tell me your journey kind of as far as, musical family? Did
well, no, no, zero musicians. My options were to join the Air Force, so I moved to Olympia to start a punk band. But I do remember my parents were wild, kind of, you know, party animals. And I do remember they would blast music all fucking night. And at the time, I was like, oh, God, I just want to go to sleep. But, like, they liked – my dad listened to Black Sabbath. And I think that that, like, hearing Black Sabbath's guitars blasting through the walls, like – was maybe important.
But at least they listen to good music, right? I mean, both.
Yeah, I mean,
Ozzy and Black Sabbath, right?
I mean, yeah, exactly. My dad loved Black Sabbath, and I remember listening to like Tony Iommi's guitar blasting through my walls trying to go to sleep before school, and I kind of hated it at the time. But now that I think back on it, I'm like, oh damn,
it could have been worse.
Yeah, it could have been worse.
I was like, well, dad is such a your dad is such a Bob Seger dad to me. My dad liked Bob Seger too.
He does love Bob Seger, but he also liked ABBA and like he had such he I'm liked not, ABBA and he also liked Black Sabbath. It's weird. It was kind of an interesting taste.
90s. Yeah. What was his favorite band in the 90s?
Well, his CD collection was interesting. It was like Aerosmith and then Black Sabbath, and then he loved country, like old country, like Hank Williams and Johnny Cash. But then he passed away a few years ago. Rest in peace. Love ya. But he loved Taylor Swift. The last year that I had with him, he was jamming on Taylor Swift all the time.
I love Taylor Swift too.
That's so weird. He wasn't afraid to like, he actually, I mean, as flawed as a man that he was, he was open in some ways. Yeah. It's interesting.
Funny. Well, did you start? All right, sorry, go ahead, Beth.
Nope. And you already talked to me. I'll do my eyeliner. Y'all talk.
I was just going to keep
my family are like all pipeliner Air Force people. So they're like hardcore guys. But I just kind of love that he loved like Black Sabbath and then also ABBA and then loved Taylor Swift.
Sure. Yeah.
Very, but was like the wildest fucking hillbilly you could ever fucking imagine in your life.
Lord, yeah. But I think it's funny.
Like overalls with no shirt day after day.
That's awesome.
I love this. He's like, I love this Shake It Off Taylor Swift jam.
Sorry.
And like, be like, you know, shooting shotguns into the night, jamming on Taylor Swift.
Chasing us off the land.
That too.
I think kind of made you, what's so interesting about you and kind of made you use, like sometimes when you're walking around now that we're grown ups, you know, and I mean it in the best way of those great parts of your dad, Robbie, like that is so his dad, you know,
we are our parents, right? Genetics, but
yeah.
But he was interesting in that he was, like open to listening to things that maybe didn't fit his, I mean, a fucking wild ass hillbilly driving a bulldozer, and wanting to jam to Shake It Off by Taylor Swift.
That's interesting.
That's an interesting combination. Combination.
That really is.
And I appreciate that rejection of societal norms, perhaps. There are things I didn't love and accept at the time, but I kind of love that he didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
How does Shell not to listen to T Swift?
I know. Nope. I mean, you're just like fucking guy on a farm. So he didn't have many friends, and it was me and my sister were the people we talked to. And it was funny. He was kind of eccentric, but like secretly eccentric.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, your dad was a major eccentric.
Totally eccentric, and like was never when he was a child, his pet was a fucking raccoon, and
that's amazing.
They lived in a place called Mount Zion in Missouri, and he raised his fucking
beautiful
raccoon.
Area.
And it was his best friend, and people made fun of him because his best friend was a raccoon. And one day, after a few years, it went feral and like ripped up all my grandma's like plants and tore the, you know, because they have like a thumb. So it like fucking pulled the ceiling fan down, destroyed all the lamps, and had to get rid of it. And it broke his heart. And I'm like, damn. What an interesting person, really.
That's hilarious.
It also makes it puts your childhood into so much perspective. You're like,
it does. And it's like, it's kind of, it's a bummer in some ways, you know. I mean, okay, our parents can be flawed. We come from a place where people were very It's backwoods shit. And people don't know. They only know what they know. And you see flaws in them when you're young. And I was like, I want to get out of here. I fucking hate this. And later I'm like, okay, you know, if you want to love somebody, you there are things you accept. And, you know, there are things you may not like. But you want to love somebody. And you sacrifice yourself sometimes to find love. And it's beautiful. And
that's what child is, I think, such a big part of it was being a grown up. You know, the child is an adult person who's still someone's child. Is that eventually you have to say, you know, am I going to live this way and be angry all the time? Am I going to?
Can we choose joy?
Yes. Can we choose joy? And can I just look at you and say that, you know, no one would choose to go through the things that you go through every day. You know, that's not a
unless choice. Yeah. But you have to. I think that you know, love and acceptance is so powerful, and even in the face of flaws, and even in the face of danger, even in the face of people telling you it's the wrong thing to do, sometimes you must choose this. It's hard. It's not easy, but it's dangerous, and it can have potentially beautiful side effects that will heal years of pain.
Yeah, I learned that from my mother too. Nathan, just what you're saying, you know, like,
yeah, you can
she had accept such a hard childhood. And I remember just thinking,
exactly,
you know, love
breaks the damage cycle. I believe that.
Mm. Well, I think just meeting people where they are, too.
Like, yeah, what exactly. Like we're talking about radical acceptance.
Mm-hmm. There's
a such thing as toxicity, though. You got to be careful about toxicity. You got to be careful about that. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, gotta know when to walk away.
Sometimes you fall on your own sword. Sometimes you do sacrifice, and it can have beautiful results. But it's hard. It's not easy. It's not easy.
I have so many siblings too. You're right, Nathan. I do believe that. Now I have so many siblings too that, like, I think because I'm the only one that moved away, and Nathan moved away and then moved back, and he has a sister and stuff. Not to get you know, to say too much about Nathan's life, but for me, it was like having seen these people, adult people, not all of us, but there's enough of us to say a lot of us.
And they're damaged too. And you know, to say, like,
yes. And also you're seeing this, you're like, you know, we'll talk about my mother because my dad passed away too. So like, we'll talk about my mom and I'll be like, you have got to remember, number one, she had a life before you were even thought of. Number two, she has a life now that has nothing to do with you.
Our parents both had us when they were young, and they didn't know how to even fucking live life, but they chose to have children. Our children appeared, and they did the best they can. And you have to be, I think you have to kind of respect and honor that in some ways. Like, at least they tried, and it was messy, but to try and to love is a fucking punk rock as he gets. That's dangerous. It's hard. It's not easy. There's no rule book. There's no one to tell you what to do that's right or wrong, but you choose to do it. And fuck, later in life, you can realize how beautiful it is.
And, seeing them as an adult, not seeing them as your parent, but being like, talking to them as a person.
It's like when you're in a relationship with somebody that you romantically love, you can see them as a friend too. And you can, you know,
I think that's a big difference, is being like, hey, let's talk as like, instead of being like, how are you doing? And they're telling you about the flower beds. You're like, well, that's cool too, mom. But how are you? Like, what's going on in your brain today? You know, like, I feel like that's a big thing too. Like, there's this point in adulthood where you have to ask, you know, to be like, okay, this person is a person. And like, you know, you can't just expect.
They have their own experiences. You can't dismiss their experiences.
Right. And you can't be like, you know, boy, I mean, I know some people that are still so upset, and I'm just like, honey, you need to stop talking to your mom, or you need to like deal with, or like whatever it is. But you know, I'm grateful that we did have the weird childhood that we did. I think it set us both up for like expecting the unexpected and being okay with chaos and like being
totally. Yeah, we were able to feel comfortable in this nomadic punk rock world, I think, because we were used to damaged chaos, and we felt more comfortable going on fucking tour and quitting our shitty fast food jobs than some other people maybe who would be like, no, I need stability. And because of that chaos, we used it to our advantage advantage, I think. And it allowed us a freedom that some people may not have because they want such stability and balance. And we were like, fuck, let's do this. Hold my hand. Let's go all over the fucking place.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. Like you had that earlier to what you were talking about, Nathan. It was like, you know, there's no stability and there's no guarantee with pursuing music at all, right? It's like, okay, hopefully
there's zero fucking guarantee. It's a gamble. Yeah. It's a risk. It's dangerous. It's wild as hell. But when you are used to chaos, and maybe you can, maybe there's like an advantage to this in some ways, you know? I mean, not to say that it's good. All I want is stability these days in my life. I'm like a 44-year-old man. I'm like, oh, I sure wish I could have a stable life. But
yeah,
you know,
can I have health insurance? Thank you. Like,
sure.
I can speak for both of us when I say, I don't think that I knew that was why we were good at, like, why not make good, maybe not good, but like why we could
accept all the chaos because we were used to it.
I would just honestly, sometimes people would say things, I'd be like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Like, what do you mean? Like, what are you talking about? When people would be like, you know, felt more secure doing something else, I'd be like, well, why would you do that when you could just do anything you want? And like, it never told me that I was like, oh, because I raised myself.
And it's like, who made these fucking rules I'm supposed to follow again?
Exactly. Like, you have to go to college and you have to do this and you have to have a backup plan. And
zero backup plan.
No,
I mean,
this is it. We're doing it.
That's really wild if you think about it. Now that we're older and we can reflect, it was fucking wild to be like, let's take a gamble on this. Here we go.
Yeah, you guys. So you both moved out to Olympia, and then is that when? Did you have a band prior, or was it like, let's go out there and just kind of see what the music scene is and let's
start the band in Olympia, and Beth was supposed to go back to Arkansas and decided to stay, and we started a band with our friend Kathy from Arkansas.
Yeah. Okay. New York. I never even thought Kathy bought my ticket because she's the only one with a credit card. Like, my family, nobody had a credit card but her. And I had some money because of graduation. I had about $300, which was like a gazillion dollars back then. And Kathy was like, I'll put your airplane on my credit card and you can just pay me back later. But we can only afford a one way. And I was like, okay, well, then I'll just get a job. She's like, I'll get you a job where I work. And that was at A&W Hot Dogs. And so I was like,
I love A&W Hot Dogs.
Oh, my God. Let me tell you something. Those corn dog nuggets.
That root beer is jamming.
Yes, it is. Sorry, go ahead.
I just lived on those. That's every night we just bring home a shitload of corn dogs. But that was the idea. And then Gossip started and it was like one day they were playing drums. Kathy was playing drums and Nathan was playing guitar in the basement in this house we shared. And they had written this song or something. And Kathy was like, hey, will you come upstairs and come downstairs and sing in our band or whatever? And I was like, okay. And I remember I was doing dishes or something. I was just sitting. It was some house thing. And I was just like, okay. And then we wrote three songs. And then the next thing we knew, Nathan came home one day, was like, oh,
remember the Red Hot was the name of our band.
Well, we had a band name. We had to think of a band name for the flyer.
It was the Red Hots, I think, like the candy, the shitty ass fucking candy.
Oh, fakies.
So you had
a
show book?
Sorry, I just wanted to flag Rap Time shortly.
Okay, yeah, we'll get into the album.
Fantastic, thank you.
We don't have to.
You don't have to get into the album, or you don't have to.
I'm just joking about who make up these rules anyway. But
okay.
Anything we don't want to do. So.
Well, let's okay.
Go
no,
ahead.
We'll just go real quick. So you had a band. You were the three songs, the Red Hots. You had a show or something? That's why you had to come up with the name.
Yeah, and then we put that on the flyer, and then none of us were really happy with the name. And so we just Gossip one day. And then that's kind of what stuck. And then we would just, you know, a couple more shows here and around and there. Like, what's so funny is that Nathan would just come home and be like, oh, I booked a show. We'd be like, well, shit, now we need songs. So let's do that.
Okay.
Really,
it was just like that. Like, we'd have to be like, well, or, you know, just like when he came home, he was like, we have a show. And we're like, well, fuck, now we need a name. I mean, like, what are we going to do?
Yeah. And then,
yeah, it was like that all the time. I wouldn't have changed that at all.
Urgency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, like, kind of, yeah, force you to come up with something.
I learned, too, like, recently, believe this or not, this might blow your mind, but in the pandemic, I was finally diagnosed with ADHD. And, like, after all the years of people being like, you're a maniac. And, like, you know, failing everything all the time. And then one of the things that, like, I've been reading about a lot is how, and Nathan has it, too. God, don't even get me started. But
I have ADHD.
Oh, yeah, I do, too.
Yeah, we have it in very different ways. But one of the things that we do that is very similar for us is that you thrive in chaos. Two, like, we work better when we're put under pressure. So mm-hmm. if we have to write an album in 3 days, we'd be like, okay, like, and, but with somebody be like, you have 6 months to write an album. We'd be like, fine, we'll get around to it. Then, like, by the time it's 3 days till it's due, we'll be like, well, fuck, now we got to write it. And then it would probably kind of,
Here's another beautiful side effect of ADHD. You only focus on the things you love.
Yeah.
Like, if you love something, you can do it. If you hate something, you won't. So, like, yeah. I think we love music. So we were both like, okay, we can do this.
Yeah. And that was my problem. I was always like, I didn't understand. When I found out that, because people would always be like, well, why is it that you can teach yourself to knit or whatever? And I'd be like, because I give a shit. I don't know. Because it's interesting. Like, myself, yeah. I don't give a shit about that.
Do you feel like that was part of, like, did you write the new, I mean, because you guys had, you know, major success throughout the years.
Lovely segue.
Oh, sorry. Well, we're on a time crunch, I guess. We did. Yeah, I got hip to you guys with Heavy Cross. I used to be on terrestrial radio for a lot of years, and I was in San Francisco at Live 105, and we played Heavy Cross, and that's when I got hip to your band, and I always thought you're amazing. Obviously, you worked on that record and you just did a 10-year reunion on it, or you had done a 10-year reunion on it, and this new album just came out, and you had the opportunity to work again with Rick Rubin, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Just tell me, so you worked with, I mean, working with him, I'm sure even back in 2009 was probably insane.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, I knew everything. You know, I was nervous because I think for somebody like me, and I think probably Nathan too, but I was like, oh my God, we're such crazy scatterbrains. Like, okay, there's this person that probably has this like grand process and he's like this renowned producer, like, what is he going to do with us? What's it going to be like? Are we going to drive him crazy? Like, is he going to regret it? And then
I was worried he was going to regret it.
Yeah, I was. And then so when I walked in, you know, I said to him, and we were at the Shangri-La, and he was in his place that he was always in. And I said, so what's our process going to be? I was just like, let's just get this out of the way. And then he literally said, well, we'll know when we're done. And I swear to God, my heart went, fuck yes, finally. Like, I, wow. Like, there's no plan. You don't talk about a fucking concept. You don't talk about blah. You talk, you know, there's conversation. You speak in references. And, you know, when you're not feeling good about the direction, he's never like, we'll try this. He's just like, keep going in the direction. You'll get where you need to be. You know, he loves Nathan's guitar playing so much. Like, he loves it as much as I do. And that always makes me feel better. And then, like, you know, I hate writing words songs. I hate it. It kills me. But, like, with Rick, he's just like, just keep going in the direction you're going and you're going to be okay. And then we'll like sit down and we'll talk about it. It was just the same as it was.
Rick's power is that he's a cheerleader for the artist.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he was such a cheerleader to me and to Beth. And he didn't give a shit about the label and didn't give a shit about the music industry. He just focused. He looks you in the eyes and says, I love what you're doing. Let's do more of this. And he's an encourager.
Yeah, if it's good, if he believes in what you're doing, he'll let you do, he'll not let you. There isn't, that's the thing, it's like, it's never about permission or whatever. I think it's hard to explain sometimes because people, you know, they're always like, oh, he's a guru. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, but, and I keep saying this, but like, he's not like a genie in a bottle. It's like, he's not like, you know, hovering 10 feet off the ground. He's
he's just a man.
He is. he knows that. And also, like, I think the other thing is, it's like Nathan and I don't know how to read or read music or anything either. And neither does Rick. So, like,
we have zero music theory. I don't even know most of the fucking chords. Rick does not use a mixing board. Beth's like, what is an octave? And so it all worked together in this, like, way that was just like, let's talk about references and sound as opposed to like math.
Yeah. Back to the production that Beth was talking about earlier on, like with how she used to listen to music in headphones, and which I love about Light It Up. I mean, that song, like the guitar is going from left to right, you know, in your headphones.
Oh yeah, the panning.
Yeah, I was like, this is crazy sound.
And you know what's good? That's fun about that song is we had the Hawaiian crickets going at the beginning and we left it in. I'm so glad he wanted to leave in the Hawaiian crickets.
Because you recorded in Hawaii, right? Like in this wild studio with like, I was just reading about it with the glass around it. You could just see out.
Yeah, playing guitar and looking at the ocean, I was like, oh shit, this is actually beautiful.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that kind of influence had some influence on the record? I know like, turn the card slowly. It has like this really kind of like Hawaii. I don't know.
That guitar. I think that song was specifically inspired by like Hawaiian slide guitar music that I was listening to when me and Beth would drive around and
really
listen to Hawaiian radio.
I can hear that for sure.
And we'd hear like, it's so interesting how the slide guitar, you think about it, it's just an instrument, but it was like so utilized in Hawaii.
It was 2017. Or 2015, something like that.
Yeah, that's an old song, but that like guitar part idea was inspired by Hawaiian slide guitar sounds.
Yeah, but
nerdy conversation, but
no, that's amazing. But I think the record's amazing. I think it's so awesome that you guys got back together and put this album together. I appreciate your time today. I know. We got to wrap it up here. So I have one more quick question for both of you. I want to know if you have any advice for aspiring artists.
Oh,
Nathan. Be yourself. Be yourself.
Yeah.
At all costs, be yourself.
Mm. Yeah. And find people you trust and stick with those people.
Yes. Like, build roots.
Build roots. Exactly. Because those people are going to tell you the truth. And sometimes
they're going to love you.
And they're going to love you. Yeah. And they're going to be there with you through the bad times and the good. And that means the bad records and the good ones. And they'll tell you the truth. I think I cannot say that enough, especially as a 43-year-old woman who's been doing this since I was 18 with mostly the same people. It's more than loyalty. It's more than anything else. It really is just about like having people you can trust, rely on, and will be there for you, and also be brutally fucking honest. I think that's the most important thing that you can do is like, you know, I guess an artist.
Stay true to yourself at all costs.
Sorry, Beth, you got cut off. What did you say?
Oh, I was just joking. I'm more of a crafter. when people are like artists, I'm like, I don't see one around me. Nathan's an artist, but I always feel like I'm more of like I'm kind of like I guess I'm the Joanne Fabrics of the group. So, and I'm happy.
Well, I appreciate both of you. Thank you so much for taking this time to chat and hang out with me.
Yeah, well, that was fun. Thank you.
No, thank you. Sorry, Beth, go ahead.
I said, bless your heart for getting through this. You did it.
Exactly. Sorry about the chaos.
No, that's what I love about doing this is it's not about me at all. It's about you two. And I loved you guys bouncing back and forth, you know, chatting about your childhood and stuff. I thought that was so cool.
Never about you. It's always about the song. Same thing.